What's good, everybody? Monday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete Jensen here with you and joined by guest Chris Meaney from the FTN Network. He's filling in here for Robbie Reese today. What's going on, Chris? Couldn't be better timing here, right? With game one of the Stanley Cup Final on tap, featuring your Montreal Canadiens, man. Round of applause for them.
Jeez, I guess so. It's been a crazy ride, hasn't it? It's been completely unexpected. I believe I joined you and Rob on this show after maybe game five. And we were talking about, like, that was game five of the first round against the Leafs. We're like, Montreal had a solid game five. Can they win two more against this Toronto team? And ever since then, Pete, they have been just, I don't know, man, they've been feeling themselves. They really have. They've been playing with a ton of confidence. Four lines are rolling. The top four defensemen have been very strong. And of course, getting solid goaltending from Carey Price. And just, you know, in terms of expected goals for at 5-5, nobody has a higher percentage than Montreal since that game five of round one. So yeah, here we are, Stanley Cup. No surprise the Lightning are back. But certainly I think one of the biggest, not even just in hockey, one of the biggest, I don't know, it's not even an upset yet, we can't call it, but one of the most surprising runs, I think, in playoff memory. It's almost like they were the 16th seed. Nobody thought they would get out of the first round. So it's pretty surprising what they've done. No, there's no question.
And even after the first two series wins, they faced the uphill battle of the Golden Knights, and they were what the biggest favorite Vegas was in the conference finals in like 30 years or something like that. So like, as if it wasn't already an accomplishment to get to the halfway point. I mean, now we're talking about legitimate chance of Carey Price to win the Conn Smythe, maybe even win or lose, depending on how he fares in this series going up against Andre Vasilevsky. But then on the other side, you got Tampa. You know, Vasilevsky just had another shutout to clinch the series. Got by, you know, by the skin of their teeth a little bit, but really controlled that game seven from start to finish, held off the Islanders, some late surges at different points in the third, but another dominant performance by Tampa Bay. And yeah, we could have seen this coming. I think it was the first game or second game of the playoffs, and we were saying, you know, Tampa looks like they're going to get back to the final this year, barring any injuries. And that's what we've seen here. Even the Kucherov injury scare doesn't seem to be that big of a deal because he played in game seven, and Cernak came back as well. He played in game seven. So Tampa seems to be at least remotely healthy. So they will be the favorite once again, right, Chris, here against Montreal heading into game one.
Yeah, they will be. They're big favorites depending on where you look, minus 220, 240. I've seen minus 260 in some spots, but this is just what the Canadians like, right? I mean, it's not going to change their style and what they want to play. And, you know, you can look at these two teams and the recency of when they played. I took a look at it, and I don't think any of it really means a whole lot because this Canadiens team is a lot different than obviously these two teams didn't play this season. The last year they played in Tampa, swept them. Tampa's actually won 10 of the last 12 against Montreal, and five of the past eight, the Canadiens were only able to score one goal, one or zero against Andre Vasilevsky in five of the past eight. But again, this is a much different team mixed with skill and youth. And we're seeing that from, especially from Nick Suzuki, Asperi Kotkaniemi, and Cole Caulfield, especially in that round against Vegas. He led all skaters in goals in that series, you know, and expected goals at 5-5. He was the best forward there. And Nick Suzuki kind of closed the gap towards the past couple of games, but this is a much, much different team. You and I chatted before this season started and how we'd like the Canadians. I had a 34-1 future bet over at ftnbets.com. And I said in my little blurb, listen, I don't expect Montreal Canadiens I expect them to make the playoffs. They have a chance to come out of the North, but when it comes down to maybe the semis, you'll probably want to hedge your bet because let's be realistic here. This isn't a team that I expected to go deep, but I thought that Vegas was a little unfair because I thought they were the most improved team. And you and I had chatted about that. The players that they brought in, right? Like all Stanley Cup pedigree. I mean, Tyler Toffoli and the season that he had, and Joel Edmundston, Corey Perry, Jordan, Eric Staal, these guys, like especially Staal, didn't look like it was a great move. And the Canadiens struggled. They limped into the playoffs. They dealt with COVID. Nobody was playing more hockey than them down the stretch. Four games every single week. They were without Carey Price. They were without Brendan Gallagher. They were without Shea Weber. So they were without a lot of pieces. And then they all just were together for the playoffs. It took them a couple games. Now you're starting to see the confidence and the youth mixed in. But I think that they can hang around with Tampa. I think they're very, you know, familiar with the Lightning, this is the third playoff matchup in the last 7 years between these two teams. The Canadiens won one of them. Again, Montreal is a lot different. This is a different team, but they can match. You know, the goaltending, I think, is a bit of a wash. As good as Andre Vasilevskiy has been, Carey Price certainly can match him. The defense, I think, is a bit of a wash as well. The Canadiens are one of the best defensive teams in eliminating chances off the rush. And Pete, one of the best offensive teams in terms of generating chances off the rush. This is exactly what they've done. Their last seven goals, they've scored 7 seconds or fewer in the offensive zone. That's just counterattacking. And that's exactly what they did against Vegas, a strong 5-5 team. They're going to have their hands full, no question. But I think they can take a lot of positives what the Islanders did in that series. They play a very similar style as New York. I think stronger goaltending, a little bit more offensive firepower. And they're, you know, they clog up the neutral zone and they're strong, you know, in front of their net. So I think they could take a few positives away. And I know what you think the biggest difference is, and I think it will be as well, is special teams. How do you slow down that Tampa Bay power play, which is clicking at, what, 37%? It's just, it's been unreal. And then you have the PK for Montreal, killed off 30 straight, haven't allowed a power play goal since game five against the Maple Leafs in round one. It's going to be an interesting, yeah, right? It's going to be an interesting, that's the chess match. The special teams, I think, is where it's going to come down to.
Right, and Carey Price is a big part of that. And of course, yeah, I think they're clicking at like 93.5%. The Canadians are for the whole body of work of the playoffs on the penalty kill. So they'll be tasked with shutting down the Hedman, Kucherov, Stamkos point connection. Doesn't get much better than that in terms of a power play unit, and Killorn's on there as well. You know, he's close to a point per game in the playoffs. So, you know, a vaunted unit, no question, but they've cracked the code so far for each of their opponents. I know that Montreal has had some fortunes. Like, I know that like John Tavares not being there for the rest of the series, Mark Scheifele not being there after game one with the suspension. Vegas's power play was terrible in that series, and it had been at one point or another for a long time. So maybe they didn't get lucky with that. It's a big reason why they're this far, is their own success and their own damage on the penalty kill, for good reason. But I do wonder about that. If Tampa Bay's big five, you know, including Vasilevskiy, if Vasilevskiy matches Price and kind of offsets Montreal's best player, does Montreal have enough finishers, which was a concern I had about the Islanders. I had Lightning in seven against the Islanders, and that's what happened. But the Islanders just didn't have the finishers to even score a goal in game seven. If Montreal gets to game six or seven, are their finishers like Caulfield going to rise to the occasion above the Kucherov point, those clutch guys? I don't think so. That's why I got Lightning in six in this series. Curious to hear your pick. Chris, of course, I know you're a Habs fan, but, you know, as a hockey analyst, so just very curious to see what you're dialing in here for your pick.
Sure. If I pick Montreal, I'll be looked at as a little bit of a homer, but I'll be honest. I mean, I had the Leafs. I had the Leafs in six. I had the Canadians beating the Jets, and I had Vegas. I had Vegas in six, and the Canadians really won me over against the Golden Knights. I think the series goes the distance. I think it goes seven. I think if the Islanders can take them seven, why can't the Canadians take them seven? You know, there's some pretty big odds here in terms of if you think this series total games played, if you think it can go seven, over six is plus 250. I think, you know, that's a pretty strong bet to go over six, even if you don't think over six, over 5.5, give the Canadians one win here, minus 140. I think the Lightning win this series in seven games. I think, you know, if it goes seven, the game seven in Tampa Bay with, you know, the defending champs and what they were able to do in just times where it mattered, right? That game five against the Islanders, the blowout win, that was obviously the outlier game. But then the game seven at home against the Islanders too, where it's just, it's, I think in one game, a winner take all, you take that team that has no holes. Like, where's their holes? They just don't seem to have any holes. And I think the biggest difference here, and I do believe that Danault will continue to be able to shut down. I know it's a lot to ask to shut down Kucherov and Point. I think the Kucherov injury is actually a little bit bigger than, you know, what you said. I think he's dealing with something, and the Canadians play physical. No team had more hits than them. They're going to play really hard on Kucherov. I think Danault can do a decent job. I think where the difference in this series will be the line three. It's going to be interesting to see Cirelli's line go up against Suzuki's line. There's a lot of defensive skill, offensive skill in there. So that'll be a great, great matchup, but I think we're the third line, and what we saw from Lightning last year and a little bit here in the playoffs is that Yanni Gord line with Coleman and Goudreau. Like, that's the line to me that I think will be the mismatch up against Jesperi Kotkaniemi's line. That's the line that I think has been the weakest for Montreal. But man, they are really rolling in all four lines. I mean, who would have thought, Pete, that Perry and Staal and Armia, who knows, we'll wait to see what happens with Armia. Like, that trio has 25 points here in the playoffs. Like, they have been at times Montreal's best line in the playoffs. They play heavy down low. They cycle really strong. Perry's been a force in on the power play in the first unit. So I think the Canadians will do enough. I think Carey Price will keep in a couple games, maybe steal one or two. I think that they win three, and I think it goes seven. I'll pick the Bolts here in seven. But for everyone who's just counting out Montreal and saying some luck, you alluded to a little bit of it. John Tavares, it was an unfortunate situation. They got by the Leafs maybe with a little bit of luck. There was no luck involved with the Jets. I mean, Scheifele had a bonehead play and he was done. I mean, in game one, he was right. Frustrated and they didn't do anything anyways. And they really outplayed Vegas. Apart from game one and maybe game three where Price stole that one, they controlled the play. They had hot starts. They got goals early, and they were able to play a system that they like, you know, holding a lead and clogging up the neutral zone. So it's going to be tough to hold down this high-powered Tampa Bay offense, but, you know, I think they're going to be able to hold their own, Pete. I think this series goes the distance.
I think an interesting thing about Montreal, like, I feel like even though we talked about at the beginning of the year, like, I think I had Montreal as the second-best team in the North Division in terms of the regular season picks. Obviously didn't have the, I haven't picked them in any round to this point. I don't think I'm dumb for not picking them no. in every round or anything no. like that. I mean, obviously I would have picked them. I thought the Jets series was a toss up. I went with Winnipeg before we knew that Scheifele wouldn't be there for the rest of the series, obviously, but you know, that was the only series that I probably really considered picking Montreal. But yeah, I think Montreal has done a great job in terms of its whole roster. Like, it hasn't just been Carey Price stealing every game, which is how, you know, if someone even told you at the beginning of the playoffs that Carey Price would be in the Conn Smythe conversation, you'd think he would have something like a 950 save percentage and, you know, just standing on his head every night. But this has been, like you said, clogging neutral zone, shot suppression. They were better than Vegas in, you know, five of those six games. So
they were.
And they responded really well when Jeff Petrie came back from injury. I think that was something that a lot of people forgot about, that he didn't play in game one and he came back for game two. And then, you know, the rest is history. They played great and they were a more consistent team than Vegas. And they scored the big goals on the rush, like you said. So I think that was a great trend. It's great to see Petrie back healthy because he really is. He's better than Shea Weber all around stage of the game. I mean, it's great to see Weber finally in the final. He's never even been in the conference final before this year, but those defensemen will go to work again against these run and gun studs of the Lightning. And you mentioned Joel Armia. I mean, that's an unfortunate situation if he's on the COVID protocol list. I know he was on it earlier in the year. Now he might, you know, not playing game one. I don't know if he's traveling for game one. You don't know what his availability for the whole series is going to be. But Chris, you've watched this guy score shorthanded goals, shorthanded points, play so well on the fourth line at even strength. I mean, what would they be missing? Is that going to derail Montreal if they don't have Armia, say, for half of the series or the whole series?
It could a little bit. I mean, you're talking about their penalty kill. They have more shorthanded goals in this playoff run than power play goals allowed. And a lot of it is Joel Armia and how good he's been. He's got five goals. I mean, he's a very underrated player, and credit to Dom Ducharme, because there was some shuffling towards the end of the season and Armia just didn't know where he fit in. It did look like they were going to roll with Perry and Staal and the two guys who played together in Team Canada in the Olympics and, you know, had a little bit of chemistry together. I know they're a lot slower, but again, they just play smart down low. They win a lot of puck battles. And Armia just fit in there perfectly as a guy who is, I call him a thief all the time. He's always pickpocketing. He's among the leaders in takeaways per game when he does play. And I think that is a big loss. And you're talking about, you know, the Habs getting some luck, and, you know, you start talking about Petrie and then this Armia COVID thing and then being without their coach. The Habs have had some unluck as well. I mean, Petrie,
that's true.
Two fractured fingers in a camera hole like that. That's crazy. Yeah. They lose Jake Evans to, again, that hit from Scheifele, and he was great in especially in game 6 and 7, playing on the first line with Deneau and Gallagher shutting down Marner and Matthews. 1 goal, Stone, no points. Pacioretty, 1 goal. Like, got to give a lot of credit to the top line where Lehkonen had filled in. So if there's no Armia, I expect maybe Jake Evans to come in and just play that fourth line role with Staal and with Perry. But I do think that that would be a big loss. I think he's a big reason why the penalty kill has been as strong as it has been, but they have some guys, they have some depth. We've talked about this, you know, on this show and with you, is just the depth that this team has and what they've been able to do in the off season and bringing in certain guys. So players have just been able to step up. Evans is one. Lehkonen, the overtime winner, he wasn't in the lineup. I mean, got to remember that Jasperi Kotkaniemi and Cole Caulfield didn't even start the playoffs in game 1 and 2. They're in the press box. It's unbelievable to think that they didn't start these playoffs on the ice with the Canadians and how well they have done. So, you know, a lot of depth. I think Montreal will be fine. You hope to see him back maybe game 3 or 4. I don't know too much about it, Pete. I know yesterday he didn't travel with the Canadians. I know there was going to be an update here this morning on his situation and what's going to happen there, but there's no question they will miss him, but they do have the depth. I mean, Thomas Tatar is another guy that they could plug in here, who over the past 2 years has been first on the Canadians in primary assists at 5-on-5. So he's a guy that they could fill in. I would expect if he does play, he's better suited to play with Deneau and Gallagher. And then you put Lehkonen on that fourth line. So I still think that they'll be fine. Roll 4 lines. We'll see if Armia can get in there. But Jake Evans is a guy that I think is extremely underrated. Maybe not from an offensive standpoint. He doesn't have a lot to offer there, but from a defensive standpoint, he's very skilled. He can kill penalties for you, and he's got a lot of speed.
Right, and if Evans is healthy and available, he still hasn't played yet since scoring that goal and taking the hit, and of course he hasn't played since then, but if he is available, he can bring one element. And then Tatar, who you mentioned, has been successful with this team in the not too distant past, right? I mean, he led the whole team in scoring last year. I was, you know, looking back, it seems like so long ago, but it was really only just last regular season that he had 61 points in 68 games. So, you know, don't overlook the impact he could have, especially as they make adjustments. Say if they steal one of the first two in Tampa and then, you know, Armia is still not available and they want to, you know, when they have the matchup advantages in the home games, if they want to turn to Thomas Tatar, they can do that and it can bring a different element, maybe a little bit more scoring pop. So that's something that could be overlooked, that Montreal could make the adjustments like they have so far this postseason. Remember, coming back from a 3-1 series deficit, losing game 1 in Vegas, and then winning the series in 6. So really
losing
impressive
their coach
job
too, Pete. That's another thing.
I mean, no, there really hasn't been enough talk about that one. I mean, it sounds like Ducharme could be, you know, eligible to come back from the COVID-19 protocol absence for game 3. But just the fact that they were able to take down Vegas and, you know, pretty much, I guess now we could say they won the Pacioretty trade, right? By the way,
well,
it's
who was
amazing.
The most,
like,
yeah, sorry
when
to cut
that
you
happened,
off.
It was like they were going for Pacioretty to be the final piece to the puzzle to win it all, a win now move. And now it's like the Habs won the series against them. It's insane, man.
Well, who was the most noticeable player in that series, in your opinion? Was it Suzuki or Pacioretty?
It was hard not to notice. Oh, out of the two. Yeah, it was Suzuki. No, no question about it. Yeah, I mean, Pacioretty was great early in the playoffs, but
yeah,
that came to an abrupt ending there. And yeah, in terms of other noticeable players, I mean, I just wonder what kind of impact like Cole Caulfield could have on the same line as Suzuki in this series. Could it help them match the scoring of Tampa Bay? I mean, we talked about when they called up Caulfield late in the season, like I was saying, I hope they play him with Suzuki. And I think a lot of people were to see the Canadians reach another gear offensively. And that's what we've seen over the course of the playoffs. You know, they're not playing Caulfield in a small role. They're playing him in the top six, and he's maybe the most electric player in the playoffs in terms of guys you didn't expect to make this big of an impact.
Well, that's the thing. And it took a little bit to get going, and they shielded them a little bit, just like they're shielding their bottom pair defense. I mean, these guys, Gustafson and Merrill, don't play, right? It's a lot of the minutes are right to Petrie and Edmondson and Weber and Sherratt. Those guys are eating up a lot of minutes. But yeah, Cole Caulfield early on, I believe he only had 9 shots in his first 6 games, and he's flirting with 30 ever since. Like, he's playing with a lot of confidence. He's shooting the puck, you know, quite a bit. And it's exactly what this Canadiens team has needed. It's crazy to look at even deeper into this run, Pete. They're 11-0 when they score 2 goals, 11-0. Again, part of that is, of course, Carey Price. Carey Price has won 22 straight playoff games when they score him 3 goals, and 28 of his last 29 when they score him 3 goals. Caulfield is exactly what this team needed, a little bit more offense to help the power play, which has been, you need special teams, obviously, and the penalty kill has been great, but you also need power play. He's on that first unit. He's contributing there. So you have that second line, which Montreal just really hasn't had. Like, they're one of their better 5-on-5 lines for them, and in the NHL, has been the Dano Gallagher Tatar line. And that line is not even really contributing. Gallagher scored in game 7 against the Leafs, and then Lehkonen scores there. Dano hasn't really done anything offensively. He's not asked to. He's done a great job, but it's that other element to have Cole Caulfield. And another thing with Dom Ducharme, just before we get out of here, is I don't think we can, you know, stress that enough, that this guy, not only this COVID run, when he took over from the team, Pete, he had 4 practices where he can implement his system over the last 6 to 7 weeks of the season. The Canadiens had played more games down the stretch than any team in NHL history. 4 games in every single week over the last 6 weeks. They never had more than 1 day off in a row to have a practice for a new coach to implement his system and to be without the leaders that he was without down the stretch as well. So to have those few days off before the Leafs, maybe it took a little bit of time for them to get that system, but it is scary to see a team play with a ton of confidence. And I know that this is a massive mismatch, just like it was against Toronto. I don't think they had really any business beating the Leafs. They got lucky. They had, you know, a couple overtime wins, and Carey Price was strong, but you could see the confidence grow. Against the Jets, they completely deserved that series. There was no luck involved. Against the Golden Knights, there was no luck involved either, besides the Fleury turnover there. That was it. But other than that, I thought it was a series that they deserved to win. And again, just to hammer home that point, if you think this is going to be done in 4, done in 5, I don't think you've watched the Canadiens play this year. They especially just lately in the playoffs. If you watch them the regular season, you're wondering why the heck are they here. But in the first part of the season, they play with a lot of confidence, a lot of speed. They're playing that way right now. So Dom Ducharme has implemented a system, and it's a complete buy-in right now.
And I think that the fact that he was able to do such a good job at implementing the system allowed the team to not miss a beat when he was, you know, had to connect with them virtually, where he couldn't be behind the bench. And, you know, his assistants did an amazing job. And I think it's also a testament to Bergevin, who I personally have been critical of in the past. Like many different moves over the years, you know, the Sergachev move. And of course, they're going to be playing against Sergachev here. So they have, you know, a chance to win the cup and prove that, you know, they didn't really miss that much in trading him. Of course, I know Drouin's not with the team, you know, we're thinking of him. Hopefully everything's okay with him. But in terms of Sergachev, he'll have a chance, you know, to burn his former team if he has a big series. I know he's been a little quiet so far, but yeah, back to Bergevin, like investing so much in Josh Anderson and then having him score 3 points in the series against Vegas and make his physicality felt. And of course, you know, taking advantage of the Fleury misplay. I mean, that was a heads up play. It was not a traditional way of skating, but he changed direction and capitalized on that. So, and that's a reflection of Bergevin. He was very high on that player. So in terms of any props or anything like that for Chris, for the cup final, is there anything you're seeing out there that's catching your eye? Everybody should go out there on FTM Bets, FTN Daily, FTN Fantasy, no matter what you're doing out there, to check out what Chris is doing. But what jumps out to you here in the championship series, Chris?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I have hedged my 34-1 Habs ticket with Tampa Bay. There's no question. Wow. I am doing that. And I suggested everyone at FTN to do that as well. We waited it out a little bit. I thought the Lightning would squeak by the Islanders, but I didn't want everyone to hedge on the Tampa and then have the Islanders, and then you have to hedge on the Islanders. It's like, this is too much hedging. You're not going to win any cash that way. But from a prop stamp, I mean, I think Price was 50-1 to win the Conn Smythe, and now he's favored and points right there ahead of Kucherov as well. I don't think there's any value in taking any of those guys, but from a prop standpoint, it's tough to get behind these Tampa Bay shooters because you just don't know where the consistency is going to come from. Even as good as Point has been, you know, scoring goals. And what, he'd have a goal nine straight, and geez, he's well over a point per game. Same with Kucherov since last year at the start of the bubble and the playoffs. Like, taking those guys for assists, more so point for an assist prop, he's usually around plus 170 for to get an assist. I know it's been all goals, but when you play with studs like he plays with the Kucherov, and on that first power play, you could fall into an assist. So I'll take it game by game. I'll be looking from the Tampa Bay side. Yanni Gourde over 1.5 shots. He's been hitting consistently over the past couple of weeks. And like I said, I think that's going to be a mismatch for the Canadians. I get a little nervous as a Canadians guy when I watch Kotkaniemi and Anderson and Byron, as good as they have been offensively. They tend to be pinned in their zone a little bit, and I have a lot of respect for that Gourde line. So I think, you know, Gourde for a shot prop 1.5 is going to be someone I'm going to be taking a look at. Stamkos has heated up here over the past couple of games. His shot prop 2.5 is usually plus money. I'll be taking assist props on point and Hedman, just kind of staying away from Kucherov. He doesn't shoot the puck all that much, and he's a bit of a pass first guy, believe it or not. And then on the Hab side of thing, as Suzuki's been at 1.5 these entire playoffs, he's shooting the puck a lot lately with a ton of confidence. Caulfield, same deal, 2.5 plus money. Those are the two Canadian forwards that I'll be looking at. And then that's it. It's hard to know where the balance or the offense is going to come from. Toffoli, 2.5 is somebody, a shot prop guy that I'll be looking at as well. But, you know, up and down this lineup, and you mentioned Bergevin, he's got his hands all over this. When he took over this lineup, it was just Price and Gallagher. He's done a heck of a job with this lineup, and it's a lot of balance. There's a lot of skaters here with 4 or 5 goals. So I would just attack that second line. I think, you know, if you're looking for some offense, where the offense is going to come from, it'd be the Suzuki line with Toffoli and Caulfield.
Good stuff. And yeah, Yanni Gourde has goals in 3 of his past 5 games, including the shorthanded goal. I mean, that was one of the most incredible stats that you'll ever see, that the New York Islanders didn't allow a shorthanded goal the entire season, including the regular season, and then allow it as the lone goal in game 7. So, I mean, that was an amazing play from Cirelli to Gourde, totally clutch. And to be able to do that to the Islanders is an accomplishment for sure. And, you know, tough timing for the Islanders, let's be real, for them to allow it at that stage of the season after really, I mean, that being a testament to their system that they haven't been able to, you know, allow a misplay like that. So also, you were mentioning you were in on the Habs. There was one of our listeners to our show that I wanted to give a shout out. At Mr. Javier Jose, he's a Sharks fan. He was in on the Canadians back in February because I guess he was listening to some of the things we liked about them. He was in on a couple of teams, including Montreal. So I know he's been tweeting at us. He's been excited. Nice. So definitely wanted to give one of our true longtime listeners a shout out there. But Chris, thanks so much for joining us, man. Love the insight. Good luck to the Habs. And, you know, I think that if you pick Tampa in 6 or 7, you are giving due respect to what the Habs are doing here this postseason. So respect to you as well, man.
Oh, awesome, Pete. I love chatting hockey with you, of course. So thanks for having me on, and enjoy the finals, man.
Thanks again to Chris Meaney for coming on. Now let's shift gears and go to Matt Russell of the Action Network. And you can hear the music behind me. That's music from Beat Club, new partner of the NHL. Song called We Back by Elijah Gray, and it's a new partnership with Timbaland's Beat Club. Go check it out for sure. Great stuff, and we'll be featuring some of it on the show moving forward. So we back here with Matt Russell from the Action Network. What's going on, Matt? I mean, you must be riding high after picking the Habs as underdogs and seeing it cash out here.
Yeah, and we've been riding them all the way through the playoffs, and at no, you know, you sort of take it step by step, and then, you know, we're sitting here Monday morning ready to see the Stanley Cup Finals go off tonight, and you're like, yeah, we actually made it all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals with those bets. Now, I didn't have a ticket on the Habs to win the Stanley Cup because I've just been going game by game and series by series here, so, you know, it effectively ended up the same way, and I'm certainly thrilled to have them in the Stanley Cup Finals here, and, you know, I've had to make some decisions here going forward on whether we're going to keep this train going here, so happy to join you guys and talk about that.
For sure, man. Great to have you. And yeah, I think there are so many different scenarios right now with people that went against the grain at the time and picked Montreal. Some people did it at the beginning of the season when they knew that they were a team with a strong goalie, a team that got better in the offseason, that played a possession style, that rolled 4 strong lines. There were other people that maybe, you know, hit them at their lowest point when they were about to get eliminated down 3-1 in the series against the Toronto Maple Leafs, in which case you could get some, you could have gotten some ridiculous odds at that point. Sure. And some people are either way holding a ticket on Montreal. Our previous guest, Chris Meaney, said that he already hedged. What's your opinion on the situation? Does it vary based on the circumstance, or are you just riding this out because you think Montreal actually has a chance to beat Tampa Bay if you were in those shoes?
Yeah, I mean, the hedging thing, it's such a personal decision, right? And there's so many variables that go into it, right? How much did you put on the ticket to start with? Was that your plan the whole time, right? And it's funny that, like, you have all these people who have tickets from before the season started, because Montreal was a team that everybody kind of had circled as, you know, oh man, they could actually maybe win the division in the North. They could maybe, you know, go on a run here. And then the season happens, 56 game shortened season, and it becomes less and less likely, which is one of those rare situations that we've come full circle from. You know, everybody before the season was now kind of right, where it took 56 games plus a handful of playoff games for people to kind of realize, oh man, like, this team actually is legit. And so when it comes to hedging, yeah, I mean, like, it's so personal, and it's almost like a case by case type thing. For me, I would probably take a little bit off, maybe, again, just to get your initial investment back potentially. But I imagine a lot of those people who have, you know, 25 to one, something along those lines, I imagine they didn't put that much on it in the first place. So if you put 50 bucks, 100 bucks, are you really going, you know, really going to miss that if Tampa Bay wins this series? I certainly think Montreal is capable of winning the series. It's the Stanley Cup Finals, after all. They got here for a reason. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I wouldn't say just let it ride kind of blindly here, but, you know, don't give back all the value that you have earned by being, you know, right along the way here. So, you know, take it easy with the hedging is generally my sort of my recommendation for people, because people love hedging. And a lot of the times it's not really that great of an idea.
Makes sense for sure. So as far as the series overall, I think that we saw Tampa Bay scrape by in game seven. They were the better team in that game, but the fact that they were kept it at 1-0, I mean, it was a little dicey there late in the third period. So, and Kucherov was banged up. I mean, we've talked at length about that already, but are you worried at all about Nikita Kucherov not being at full strength? Maybe Hedman, I know that earlier in the playoffs, people were rumbling about him dealing with an injury. I mean, sure. Like, if these injuries catch up to Tampa against a bruising four-line team like Montreal, I mean, is there really a concern about Tampa Bay finishing off this thing and repeating as champs? Or what's your pulse on them right now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, listen, the team of my youth, the Vancouver Canucks in 2011, right, had that happen to them, right? The Sedins banged up, Ryan Kessler's out there with a mangled hip, and Boston just, you know, basically outlasted them for seven games. And so is that possible that that could happen here? Yeah, we've seen Stamkos ask questions about, you know, how he's feeling. Nobody's going to feel great at this point in, you know, the playoffs, right? And we watch Kucherov, you know, he's a guy who likes to stick his nose in there, right? He makes plays in tight spaces. He was kind of avoiding those tight spaces in game seven. And so I think the first thing in this series is, you know, the kind of the most obvious thing, right? The discrepancy, the power play for Tampa Bay versus the penalty kill for the Habs. And you've got the Habs here, 6.5% opponents conversion rate on, you know, against Montreal. And of course, the, like, insane consecutive penalty kill streak that they've got going. Meanwhile, Tampa, they're historically good on the power play. And why are they historically good on the power play? Because they have more money invested into their roster than anybody else ever has. That's the kind of thing that's going to happen. And so they're sitting around at 37, close to 40%. They were 40% going into the Islanders series on the power play. And if Kucherov's not able to go, or he gets a re-aggravation here or something along those lines, right, that power play becomes a lot more, you know, handleable, if you will, right? 22%, like ninth in the league, something along those lines during the regular season, which is more sensical. You're supposed to only be around 20% on the power play. And I always just kind of think, right, it's the defense wins championships concept, right? I always kind of think it's harder, it's easier to prevent goals, if you will, than it is to score them. And so if you're giving me an incredibly good penalty kill against an incredibly good power play, I'm going to lean to the penalty kill, because it's the impetus to the offense to score. And that's really tough to do. And if you're one of your main guys, right, clearly the difference maker that has moved them from 22% on the power play to 37% on the power play, if he's not able to go, or he's not able to be himself, that's going to be a major issue for Tampa Bay. And from a five-on-five standpoint, they haven't been that much different from the regular season, right? It's been all power play that's made the difference for them so far this season, or in game seven, shorthanded, made the difference for them there. But, you know, they were pretty lucky to get out of there, not getting, you know, a power play even opportunity in game seven and to win that game. Pretty fortunate from that standpoint. So for me, that's the big thing with Kucherov, right? Is the power play going to light it up? And you're going up against Montreal here, who's just steamrolling teams from a penalty kill standpoint. And so that's the big question mark here for Kucherov's availability and how that's going to affect Tampa Bay.
For sure. They've faced some decent teams on the power play, but nothing quite like Tampa Bay so far. So that's a concern, especially if Joel Armia is not going to be playing for game one, maybe even longer than that because of the COVID protocol. That's just something you got to keep your eye on. Just like, I mean, right, if you found out about an injury the day of heading into game two, it would change your opinion drastically. If Armia is out for, say, the whole series, that's going to change your opinion a little bit significantly against Montreal, just at least in terms of the penalty kill. But yeah, what you were saying about the five-on-five, yeah, I was checking Montreal and Tampa Bay nearly even in shot attempts, percentage, shots on goal per game. That's overall, but 5-on-5 for the SAT percentage, 5-on-5 shooting percentage, 5-on-5 save percentage. So we know that Vasilevsky and Price can go toe to toe. And that begs the question, would the winner of the series be the goalie who wins the series? Like, would that be the Conn Smythe winner in your opinion, if it shapes up to be a goalie duel and then, you know, say Vasilevsky gets another shutout in a clinching game, like would he be winning the Conn Smythe, or could Price win the Conn Smythe in defeat if he goes toe to toe with Vasilevsky because of the body of work?
That's the interesting thing. Yeah. And listen, you know, if we frame it like these guys are just, you know, shutouts left, right, and center. Yeah. There's a reason these two guys are essentially the favorites to win the Conn Smythe trophy. Right. And so I think you're right. Right. And how I frame this before the playoffs start, you know, I had a 50-1 Varlamov Conn Smythe, and that was only because if they were going to win the Stanley Cup, it was going to be because Varlamov led them there, and he almost did it. Right. And the Islanders were like 20-1 to win the Stanley Cup. So there was value to just play Varlamov and ignore the Islanders as a team. Well, that's kind of the situation that we found ourselves here with Montreal. But you look at the number, right, and their series price is around plus 225, plus 235, and Price's numbers around plus 240. So there's not a ton of wiggle room between the two, because the market knows if Montreal wins this series, that Price is going to win the Conn Smythe. That said, you're right. Like, what about that implied probability, right? Whether it's 1, 2, 3, whatever percent of Price playing really well, this going maybe 6, 7 games, and a bunch of different guys kind of splitting the votes for Tampa Bay. And one guy that could split a vote is Braden Point. And you look at it and you listen, part of me wanted to come on here and say, if Kucherov plays and he's healthy and the power play is what we think that the power play should be or close to it, that's going to be the difference maker. And then maybe Kucherov should be the Conn Smythe winner. But then I, you know, start looking just at the real basic stats, the goals and assists. Like, Braden Point is racking up goals here, and people like goals. So there's a better chance if Kucherov comes back and the power play is clicking, that Braden Point is actually going to be the guy who actually benefits from that, getting into those dirty areas, being that one-timer in the slot type of a guy, that he could sort of steal, if you will, the Conn Smythe from his own goaltender, because they're going to have to score on Montreal. And, you know, we know about the stat, right? Montreal gets 2 goals. They basically win the game. So, you know, vice versa, Tampa Bay is going to have to score. So that, I think, leaves a little value there for Point at plus 400, because there are some other names. Obviously, you mentioned Kucherov, Stamkos in theory, Hedman, of course, won it last year. There's all, you know, other skaters that could kind of buck their head and get in there for a Conn Smythe. But I think the best bet is Point, because Vasilevsky at plus 175, sure, he's the favorite, he deserves to be, but we're talking about, you know, human beings voting, right? And they vote on what they saw most recently. And so if Point gets an overtime winner or something along the way here, and maybe there's a couple more goals than there should be, because every once in a while, Vasilevsky will have a game where he gives up a couple easy goals. We saw that in game one against the Islanders. There was obviously that completely insane game against Carolina. I believe it was game 4, if I'm not mistaken, where just giving up some odd goals, right? Like, that's going to, you know, rest on the shoulders of the voters to be like, you know what, Braden Point here, guys almost set the record for consecutive goals, maybe adds a few more here. He's probably going to need to for them to win the series. I think he's a really interesting choice at 4-1.
Brayden Point scores some of the most clutch playoff goals, you know, each year, it seems, even before they won the cup. And, you know, of course, there was the 5-overtime winner last year in the bubble. There was game one against Florida this year where he had the breakaway and had the nifty moves in the clutch. So, and so many others that we could, you know, draw back through the years. So I think, like, with the human element, and also, like, let's be honest, there's some negativity surrounding Kucherov in the hockey world. It's not like that he hasn't been the best playoff performer. He has been for many years, like dating back to 2015, nobody has more points in the league, but maybe because they were able to wiggle the salary cap, that type of thing. I mean, there's just no disputing that there, if there is a human element, these people are making their choices, maybe they turn to the goal scorer like Point or the goalie who's getting shutouts and clinching games over Nikita Kucherov, even though Kucherov continues to rattle off 3-assist games like it's nothing. Right. It's just like kind of been the storyline of the playoffs. You look at the comments section, you see everything you need to know, you know?
Yeah, it would be a bad look, right? It would be a bad look for the NHL if Kucherov was skating around with a Conn Smythe after missing the season with, you know, in a somewhat dubious way here. So yeah, like you said, people voting on this, whether it's split votes, whether it's not necessarily wanting to give it to a goaltender, seeing whatever they've seen most recently. And then, yeah, this sort of concept of like, you know what, this team won the Stanley Cup, good for them. But like, we're not going to reward Kucherov for, frankly, a circumvention of the salary cap.
So I think one other player in the series that has been, you know, at the forefront of my mind as terms of a difference maker. I mean, I'm curious to hear, who do you think could be a single player that could be an X factor for Montreal? I think it's Caulfield. He's been one of the most exciting players to watch on a nightly basis. He'll break through for a dazzling goal. You know, he'll dish it off for a game-winning assist in overtime throughout the playoffs. It started with mostly helpers, but now he's scoring the big goals when they need it most. Is he the X factor that Montreal needs to score, you know, maybe a goal a game or a point per game to finish the job? That's something the Islanders couldn't do in that series against Tampa.
Yeah. And listen, he came on like the Kool-Aid man, right? Just breaking through the brick wall back in the regular season, getting a couple of overtime winners, back in the old 3-on-3 overtime for the regular season. You know what? Yes. But fundamentally, he's kind of already done it. And it really breaks down the handicap of Montreal and this series in general when it comes to Caulfield. He's the difference maker because when he came in into the lineup and they were up, you figured out where they were going to put him in the lineup. And, you know, he comes in, he's this kid and he's obviously had success in a bunch of different levels, but not yet the NHL. And, you know, in the regular season, there's injury chaos with Montreal. And so we're all judging Montreal by the regular season, or at least we spent the first couple of rounds doing that. But what we didn't factor in was Caulfield. And he comes in and they can put him in a top six role. You can make the case that they're the number one scoring line there with Suzuki and Toffoli. And he moves everybody into their appropriate position. I'm going to use an example here from basketball. I'm sitting here in Toronto, not that far away from the Raptors championship with Kawhi Leonard. And what Kawhi Leonard did was he was able to move everybody from a really good team. They were able to sort of step to the right. And he was sort of the groom, if you will, and the best man, and the groom could become the best man, and the best man could become, you know, one of the guys just in the wedding there for a good time. And once they were able to do that, everybody was able to succeed in this easier role, right? And so it wasn't talent necessarily, it was role. So Caulfield comes in, and let's use a guy like Brendan Gallagher as an example, right? And so there was a long period of time where Brendan Gallagher was a guy you were waiting for to score for Montreal if they were going to have success, right? He was that guy. Oh, he's in the grimy areas. Like, this is the guy they need to score, blah, blah, blah. That's great. But like, he's not really the guy you want to rely on, right? You want to get that from him in sort of different spots. So you bump him from a top six role. Now he's into a third line checking role. He's there with Deneau. He's still a problem out there for people. He's not just annoying the goaltender now. Now he's annoying the top line of the other team. And yeah, he's chipping in offensively here and there, but it's not mandatory. So Caulfield's in the right spot. And now all the other guys are in the right spot, right? There's another guy on the power power play unit, the number one power play unit. They can move Gallagher into the second power play unit because they still have old goat Corey Perry in front of the net on the first power play unit. So now all of a sudden the power play gets a little bit better, right? So when we're evaluating this series and these teams, like, you can't judge Montreal by anything except for what we've seen in the very recent, because they're just not the same team that they were last year or that they were in the regular season, right? They are that much better. They are a legit contender here. And so, you know, the price for this series, it's not as egregious. It's not as, like, personally offensive as the Vegas price was, right? I came on the show and I was just like, I can't wrap my head around a Stanley Cup semifinal having a team minus 500, right? And I know a lot of that price was built in because of the North Division and, every franchise in Canada stinks and all of that sort of thing, right? Like, that was built into that price. Well, guess what? It's the NHL, right? That's never going to be the case. There, you know, you could have bad divisions, if you will, but the best teams in that division are going to be pretty good. And so Caulfield has created and sort of put everybody into place here that this Montreal team can play with anybody. And we saw that against Toronto. We've seen that against Vegas here. Two teams that a lot of people had some regard for before the playoffs started, even if we were a little bit wondering whether the Leafs were going to choke, which they ended up doing. But, you know, now we got Tampa Bay here. And listen, is it the best team that Montreal's faced so far? Absolutely. But with Caulfield moving everybody into their role, even if he doesn't necessarily succeed offensively, he's making life easy on everybody else on that roster. You know what I mean?
I totally agree. It's kind of like what Stephon Diggs did to the Buffalo Bills. Like, sure, all the other second receivers better now because he's in a more appropriate role. Now Beasley's a third receiver, right? Like, everybody got shifted down. And it's crazy to think back, because Montreal, you could say, coming into the season was the deepest team in the NHL, bar none, at right wing. Meanwhile, you get this kid coming in from college after he lit it up there at Wisconsin, and he is probably their best fantasy forward right now. He's their best right wing on the depth chart. So everybody else looks a little bit better. And that's why you were able to see Josh Anderson have a big series last round, Corey Perry a couple of rounds ago. They can mix and match. And now you're getting some consistency, like points in seven of his past eight or whatever it is from Cole Caulfield. So in terms of the series pick for you, I get the feeling you're on Montreal's side here because of the betting value, but in turn, whether you're going to put betting lines on it or not, how deep you think this series is going and who do you think is going to win? Like, I have Tampa in six. What do you think?
Yeah, and I think that's certainly a fair guess, if you will. The market basically says, you know, the favorite, if you will, at plus 300 is Tampa 4-1. I don't agree with that at all, right? Like, at uh-huh. You know, plus 300, if you will, that's a 25% chance that Tampa Bay is going to win this in five games. No, I've got this closer to 15% for that result. I will say the highest probability score here for the series is Tampa in six by my model at 4-2. I've got that at 18%. Now, 18% isn't anything great, and it's certainly not good enough to bet on from a, I think it's plus 350, I think. So for me, fundamentally here, I'm rooting all of my bets around the idea that this goes at least six, right? So I think there's some value in the correct score after four games being 2-2 at plus 150. I'm certainly all over 5.5 games for this series. And then after that, you know, if I think this goes six games, think about it just from a fundamental standpoint, right? That means that Montreal is still alive with a home game in game six. So I think there's value to +1.5 on the series handicap. And of course, fundamentally, I've got this series, again, Tampa Bay should be favored. Completely understand that. I've got it about 60%. That means minus 150. Obviously, we know this price is minus 275. That's way too high on Tampa Bay. So Montreal plus 225, certainly viable there. And then the other thing I did against, you know, with Vegas, I didn't want anything to do with game seven in Vegas. I don't really want anything to do with Tampa in game seven here. And so I think there's some value on -1.5 games or series handicap for Montreal at 4-1 there as well, right? If they get it done, I don't think it's necessarily in game seven like Vegas. I think it's in game six. So there's a bunch of different ways to play it. Fundamentally, I think this goes at least six. And once you sort of factor in, if it's going six and game six is in Montreal, then everything Montreal has some value going forward. So that's how I'm playing the series.
Right. Their best chance to win the series may very well be winning it in six games at home, regardless of how many fans they could have in the building. It's probably most likely, if Montreal is going to win this series, that they do win it in six. But Matt, great stuff as always, man. Love the insight. Love how you came on the show as a newbie early on in the playoffs and you went bold and you came through for our listeners. So respect for sure. Great job, man. Keep it up and listen to Matt on the Window Sports Betting Podcast and follow him at the Action Network as well.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, guys. Always a pleasure.
For sure. So for our earlier guests, Chris Meaney and Matt Russell here, great stuff as always. This is Pete Jensen saying so long. We'll talk to you later in the week for another episode reacting off of what has happened in the Cup Final through the first 3 days. Rob Reese will be back for that. Looking forward to it. Thanks for listening. NHL Fantasy on Ice.